Welcome to the Blind Handyman Show, recorded at the Little Ranch House on Southwood Drive in Lufkin, Texas. For the next hour, we'll talk about building, repairing, and maintaining all design with the blind in mind. Here are the hosts of the Blind Handyman, Don Shaw.
Hey, what in the world's going on, Thomas?
How you doing, Don? Don Patterson's here, folks.
Yes, sir, on this beautiful, almost spring day.
My other earphone.
Nearly almost spring day.
Yeah, all right. Nice weather. My name's Tom Houston, but here's the creator and producer of the Blind Handyman, ladies and gentlemen, Phil Park.
We had this really neat little thing that Kevin Doucet did for us about the creator of the Blind Handyman Show, and we can't seem to get anyone to bring it.
Can't seem to find it.
No, I know where it is. It's on my computer. We just got back from gone across the river to get some adult libation, and we didn't get back in time to dub it. So it's not what I'm trying to say, Kevin, is it's not my fault, but it probably is because I didn't mention it. I didn't call anybody and tell them to. You got to remind these guys to do these things. Anyway, welcome to show 27. Is that right, Donald?
No, that's right.
27.
Statistician.
27.
Subscribe.
25.
Subscribe. Yep. That's right. Send that blank email.
To? What do you send it to?
Send it to, what is that? No. Send it to Blind Handyman. Send that blank email to Blind Handyman subscribe. At yahoogroups.com.
Subscribe. We've almost got him.
Subscribe.
We've almost got him to subscribe,
right.
And that's especially.
We do.
Especially.
Right. Especially
quite
subscribe
quite
to the list. That's right.
You won't pay my car payments quite naturally.
Subscribe to that email, that listserv.
Right. You got it.
Boy, the list is just going wild. I finally got my message rule created.
Yeah.
Where they didn't all just appear in your inbox. You just have thousands of things in your inbox.
I didn't know there were that many blind people in the country. I thought I was kind of unique that way, but now there's at least 95 others.
Yep.
Yeah, how many we have on the list? It's about the same event we had.
Hanging at about 95 or so.
Some are coming on and some are coming off and some.
Yeah, good discussion this week.
Guys decide they don't like it. There really is, and there's a lot. Well, we'll talk about that later. There's a lot of talk about a lot of things. And back to the old amazing, if you're blind, the worst thing about being blind, other than the fact you can't drive, is the fact that you don't know, because one girl on there said a nail gun. Well, I never heard of a nail gun. And you know, she didn't realize that they made.
It's just knowing about these things.
Yeah, somebody telling you about these things, or you
finding
out somewhere about these things, or she wasn't aware.
That's what the list would be great for.
And that they made a nail gun.
Finding out about different tools and
different
things.
On that subject, bring yours next week. I need to borrow it.
Oh, really?
Since we brought up nail guns. Yeah. I don't know who brought them up.
Well, you know, that is an interesting point about just the fact that maybe because of not seeing or not being in the right place, you don't encounter things. I know, and I've mentioned before about being kind of involved in educating in the education of blind people. And that's one thing we stress is trying to get them as much exposure to everything as possible, because and I think we've all got our share of it simply because we've been around houses being built. And
well, a lot of people don't want to do that. A lot of blind people don't. Don't want to learn. You know, like Don Shaw's friend in Dallas. He doesn't want to learn anything. We keep trying to teach him stuff. He doesn't.
Well, a lot of blind folks don't do handyman projects, but a lot of sighted folks don't either. I mean, that's just some people just aren't into.
Yeah, I think that her not knowing may not necessarily be because she's blind. I mean, like, you could probably run that by Penny or someone and go, nail gun.
Well, now, Penny would know there's a nail gun because John has one.
She's probably bought two or three.
She said a million times, I wish I'd never bought my husband that skill saw because it started a mighty rush to buy. To buy tools.
Because you encouraged them all the way so they wouldn't borrow yours, right?
That's right. They still come and borrow mine. I guess we ought to read some email. What do you think, guys?
We can do that.
All right, Tommy.
He says, hi, guys. I'm totally blind and a total klutz when it comes to repairing things.
No, you don't mean it.
I find your shows not only interesting but entertaining. I do a couple of shows on ACB Radio Interactive. Oddly enough, a smooth jazz show and a country music show. I think you guys as a group could do one hell of a great country music show, assuming that you all like country music. telling those funny little stories about things that happened to you while you were fixing things, or just funny stories about regular old life happenings. Mm-hmm. Mix your personalities together in great interaction with some music, and I think you would have a smashing show. I bet Jonathan would love the idea as well. I'll try to catch you again this week. 73 from WOQA, Wichita, Kansas, Steve Bauer. Thank you, Steve.
WOQA. Now, how'd you get a call like that?
That's zero country.
Yeah,
that's zero land, and that's an extra class call.
Oh, it's, okay. So he's W0QA.
Okay.
Yeah, well, what a call.
How was I to know?
I mean, is that his ham call?
Yeah. What,
but he's got a four-letter, I mean, you know, my dad's.
Read that again.
73 from WOQA.
Yeah, W0QA. The extra class, the newer ones were like 1x2.
Yeah,
so I don't know how that
sure
one.
Were. Yeah, that one's.
I mean, so he gets two. I mean, a four call letter ham. WOQA.
Yeah.
The new.
Yeah.
God, I'd like to have that.
W0.
What a great call that is.
W0QA.
W0QA.
Sammy was in 5AF, I think.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Really? So the extra class guys get that.
Yeah. 2x calls.
Because Dad in St. Louis, we moved to St. Louis in '42. His call was W9PEC.
Right.
Yeah, it was probably a general class.
And it was a general class, and they changed him to W5LXO.
Right.
That's a good
call. When he moved, I should have gotten my general ticket and kept that call.
I don't know if they let your grandfather. I'm sure there was talk that they were going to let you get family members' calls or your dad's old call.
Yeah.
But I've never heard that.
Some ham out there will know.
Somebody will know
the answer to that little question. If they let your grandfather those.
Yeah.
And by the way, Don Patterson, if you have to renew your call these days, like some of us do need to do.
Yeah.
I found out something interesting.
What's that?
For the ham radio operators out there, it used to be you had to fill out a 610 form.
Right.
Well, now they've changed it, done away with it. Now it's a 605. Form, and you can fill it out actually on the internet and email it to them supposedly, and they will renew your.
Well, maybe this email guy can also write us back and tell me whether I was an advanced and they've done away with that level, so I went back to a general. Obviously, they're not going to promote me up.
That's true.
Well, I don't know why not.
And I can't imagine
why. Knowledge like you have.
But with with the identity theft and everything, I guess I could just take an extra class license from somebody. You know?
Man is
obviously.
As backed up as the FCC is,
they would never know.
They would never ever. I could get on the air as W5LXO unless the actual guy caught me.
Unless Harry came back.
Unless Harry came back, my dad. Unless he came back, and I hated to lose W9PEC. I love that call. I thought it was a great call.
Yeah, W9.
But so the general, the advanced class have two call letters.
Two
what was
by.
He? W0.
No, he's extra class. I imagine.
Extra class.
One by two, they call it. One letter in front of your
number.
Region designation,
which
is the number, and then two at the end.
Yeah.
All right. Onward and upward, Tommy.
Okay, here's one to Don Shaw. Hi, Handyman Don. Hey, Handyman Don.
Well, how do you know it's to Don Shaw?
Because it says, hey, Handyman Don.
That'd be a dead giveaway right there, Clyde.
But how about Handyman Don Patterson?
Well, it may be you. That's right.
I mean, what? Now, if it said Handyman Tom, I could understand.
Have you ever been up on the group pages?
No.
Well, this is true.
Well,
so you're
John.
Pretty sure it's not to me. You mean it's just not to me?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure.
It's not to you.
Since the wife had me hanging up pictures tonight, here's a tip which unfortunately I didn't use because I didn't have a chunk of wood as such laying around, but here's the tip. Ever had a picture frame that was fairly large and either had one of those wires or worse, two of those alligator teeth hangers on each end?
Yes.
Yeah.
Or even worse yet, two of those slotted keyholes machined into a chef or something.
Uh-huh.
Ever wonder how you can actually get those little puppies to come out straight and level without poking a million and one holes in the wall? Well, get yourself a thin strip of wood, perhaps 18 to 20 inches long, maybe an inch wide or so, and a quarter inch thick. Then somewhere around 3/4 inch or so from the top screw in the drywall screw, or the like, leaving it a quarter inch or so from being completely screwed in the wood. Clip the end of the screw that has gone through the wood, leaving maybe a quarter or 3/8 inch sticking out. When hanging the picture, get one side to the height you want it, then slightly loosely in place, meaning the screw being a little looser than when it is finished, Then take your strip of wood with the screw in the end and hook the screw head on the wire or gator tooth hanger and push the stick up or down along with the picture until the picture or shelf reaches your right height, being sure not to scratch the wall. And when you have the spot, push gently on the area of the screw and make an indent exactly where the second screw will go. Hey, if you grow an extra arm, you might... could put an audible level up there instead of hearing the wife
say, right.
Bring it up a little more yet. Not too far. Back
don't
down.
Push too hard.
Now back, right. back up a little more. Well, I think it should go down still. This is from Brad Dunsey.
Dunsey. He was our guest, remember?
Yeah.
Brad Dunsey.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
He's, he was, what?
Dunes is when you wear the funny looking hat and stand in the corner, Tom. This guy is Brad Dunsey.
A Dunsey cap. I bet he's gotten a lot of teasing about the Dunsey cap.
Especially if he deals with guys like us that
can't. What a deal.
Yeah, but Tom can say subscribe.
He can.
Give him a chance.
He can.
Especially.
Especially. Right. He's got that down too.
Thursday.
We have the grammar lesson after the show.
We do.
Terrible.
We do. Actually, we do.
After Don, did you get permission from Emily to stay late?
I got permission. I told Tom I'd just gotten off of electronic surveillance last weekend, and if I do not violate my probation, I won't have to go back. I did have to call and get audio permission.
Special dispensation.
Yeah.
To stay late and drink with the guys after. Well, I sit around after the show. You know, we record in the afternoon, and we have a little time. There's a little daylight left.
Yeah.
Anyway, what else? You got any more?
Okay, Rodney Haney writes, says, hi, blind handyman. Good show this week. Thanks for the tip on cleaning the oven window.
Yeah.
I may have to tackle that project soon because my wife has been complaining that it is difficult to look into the oven lately.
It might be time.
I told her to turn the light on. I woke up a few hours later on the kitchen floor with a lump on my head and a remembrance of a gong and an iron skillet. So I guess I should look into fixing that soon and keep my jokes to myself. Seriously, though. Sometimes you don't think of tackling a project until you speak to someone that has already done the same project him or herself. Keep up the good work. And this, of course, from Rodney Haney.
All right.
We had him as a guest also, did we not?
We sure did.
We sure did.
The oven window is
a good Saturday afternoon.
Probably. It is, and it's not that difficult. I mean, it's not as big a deal as you think it's going to be. You think this is just going to be terrible, but you just take the oven door, it just fits right off. You wouldn't think it would, but it just
comes right out of
there.
Watch
those springs, boy. They'll get you.
Because they'll hurt you, won't they?
You'll tilt it back like almost a 45-degree angle and just pick up.
And just pull up. It'll just and you wouldn't think it. When you do it, you'll think, you mean that's all? Hell, that son of a gun on there?
Yeah.
I could hurt myself.
All these years, boy, that's all that was holding it.
And you're thinking, I'll take these screws out. Put on your one, carry your four.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff.
But, yeah, nothing to taking off an oven door, boy.
No.
That's a good project. The dirt, I guess, is on the inside of it.
Yeah, it gets between those two glasses of the door.
Yeah.
And, you know, grease build up and things, and man, it.
So try that and call us and let us know or email us.
Yeah, let us know how it goes.
Let us know how you did it. Of course, if you drop one of the glasses, it's...
Oh, yeah.
We're out to lunch, kids.
Wouldn't be good.
Because you couldn't replace that with a piece of plywood. It'd be more expensive.
couldn't
see through the...
He also writes, by the way, he says, how someone on the show had mentioned a company that had adapted tools, and I wanted to give a little bit of info I recently uncovered about it.
All right. Uh-huh.
Science Projects for the Blind at 1-800-888-7400. They're located in southeastern Pennsylvania. I found out that they have beeping carpenter levels, a 10-inch level, $39.95, a 24-inch level, $89.95.
Really?
Yeah.
It gives the same pitch tone when the level is pitched downward or upward. The level is quiet when all is well. They have a voice module that can plug into a specific brand of micrometer and caliper. I think the brand is Mitsitoyo. Did not look up the spelling, he says. The voice module itself is $695.
Ooh, whoa.
I have no idea how much the actual Mitsitoyo tools cost. They also have a beeping stud finder, but I did not get a price on it. And bye-bye for now, Rodney.
Well, Rodney, Tom can say especially and subscribe, but he can't say micrometer.
Well, I'm going to work on that. For
is that what it is? What do you measure with a micrometer?
That's what I want to know.
Calipers and a micrometer. It's for measuring like circular distances and or, I guess, like thicknesses.
Yeah,
I think
thicknesses.
The point settings is done by a micrometer.
Yeah, small little.
Like if you set points and you have to be 0.003 thousandths of a.
Yeah.
Then you'd use calipers.
No, caliper is like, I think, something for distances, maybe arcs or. Mm. I'm not sure.
Well, there's one girl on the list didn't know what hemostats were. Where was she in the 60s?
I don't know.
You know.
Yeah, that was interesting, wasn't it?
Here. You know. Doesn't know where he was, you know.
Yeah, that was interesting. Probably wasn't even born yet, than likely.
Was it?
What?
All right.
Here's one we wanted to read. We read it after the show, if you remember last week, and you said, well, we should have read it on the show. So I'm going to attempt this, and Pat will be happy to correct me on any mispronunciation. I will run over a couple, I'm sure.
All right.
It says, hi, Troy. That's exactly right. They all probably do that, newer old furnaces. Now, there is a sensor in the, is it plenum?
Plenum.
Which is really on the sheet metal box over the heat exchanger. Now, this sensor turns the fan on once the plenum temperature rises to a set point and turns it off again when the plenum temperature falls below a determined point. For optimal comfort, this should be set up to come on at a fairly low temperature, and the same for off, around 90 degrees Fahrenheit, probably. This helps level out those fluctuations in temperature. How it gets cool before the thermostat kicks the heat on, and then gets a little too warm after the thermostat is satisfied. My preference is for a two-speed fan. The low speed stays on all of the time. The high speed only when the plenum temperature rises. That keeps a steady stream of air flowing over the filter, tends to level out those fluctuations in temperature, and for me at least, reduces that annoying noise as the fan comes on and off. I never turn my fan off.
Thank you.
I also have an air-to-air heat exchanger through which draws fresh air into the house and exhaust air outside. It dumps the fresh air into the cold air return of the furnace and theoretically at least delivers some amount of fresh air through the furnace ductwork and fan system to each room in the house. Doubtless it costs a little more in electricity, though. Hope this is helpful, and this was from Dale Levins, Cochrane, and Ontario.
The Polar Bear Express.
This guy seems to be very knowledgeable about a lot of things, and we have plans to try to get a hold of him and have him on as a guest if figure out how to do that overseas call or that, you know, out of market call there. But one of the deals, one of the reasons that sensor's there is to keep the heat exchange from heating up and kicking the fan back on when you've got it turned off. Keep the little furnace from coming on. Anyway, what is the guest time?
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll go to our guest, and we're going to try this show not to dispense any useful information. Phil's going to demonstrate his famous bottle openers after the guest today. Be back in just a minute. More of the Blind Andy Man Show.
Not broadcasting.
This is Steve Mazura.
It's Robin from the Aussie Club.
I'm Roger Cool,
the KJS Show.
Hi, this is Patrick Perdue from
the ACBRI DJs are hard at work creating personal web pages about their shows, the music they play, and even a bit about themselves. Now we're accumulating these web pages into the ACB Radio Interactive Broadcasters Web Ring, where you can learn more about the personalities behind the microphone. Go to www.acbradio.org, then choose the interactive link. From there, you can choose the link that will take you to the ACB Radio Interactive Broadcasters Web Ring.
From Lake
latest breaking news stories, visit the ACB Radio newsroom at www.acbradio.org. All the news, all the time. From the world's leading news organizations like CNN, the BBC, the New York Times, the Toronto Star, the Wall Street Journal, and more. That's all the news, all the time, in the ACB Radio newsroom at www.acbradio.org.
This is the Blind Handyman on ACB Radio Mainstream. Be sure and tell a friend about the program and email us often from blindhandyman@hotmail.com. Now, here's more of the show with Don Shaw.
Our guest for this afternoon today is Dale Campbell. Hey there, Dale.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Oh, great. How are you doing today?
I am doing fantastic.
From Clear Lake, Texas.
Yes, sir.
Close to NASA,
bit,
I assume.
Located just a little bit behind the Space Center here.
Uh-huh. Well, you go ahead, Phil. What?
I was moving over. Dale, down at Clear Lake, I've been down there. I used to live down close to, actually lived off Edgebrook right in Houston, about exit 16 there. So I know wherever you speak. Now, you're totally blind?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I was in a car wreck about 8 years ago that we got ran off the freeway. In fact, not too far from Edgebrook.
Well, I wasn't there then, so it couldn't have been me.
No, it wasn't you. Wasn't me.
And you were in a car riding along, minding your own business. Were you the driver or the passenger?
Passenger.
You were a passenger.
Yeah, we got ran off the road by somebody in a Hyundai of all types of cars, you know.
Little old Hyundai.
Right. Could have at least been an American-made car.
And they forced you. Of course, the Gulf Freeway is such a busy, millions of cars every day up and down. And so you were right. What position in the car were you?
I was in the rear seat. I was behind the driver.
You were behind the driver.
Yeah.
And this guy.
My driver swerved to, miss the car that kind of swerved into our lane, and when he did so, he lost control of the car, and we ended up hitting a retaining wall,
and after
the accident, I was thrown out of the back seat into the window frame of the car.
Of the car that you were riding in.
Yeah, so it completely crushed my face, right after the accident, I set up, knew I was hurt, and immediately a voice asked me, "You want to live or die?" I made the choice. Let's live.
It's all
downhill from there.
let's go ahead and live. The heck? But this automobile accident that happened, I mean, 1 minute you were talking to your buds in the car, and the next minute you were on the side of the road.
Right.
That quick.
Right. Yeah, the next thing I knew after, I felt the car kind of shake a little bit, and then the next thing I know, I'm waking up, and my whole family is, standing around the foot of my bed in the hospital. I'm like, whoa, let me catch up and find out what's going on here.
And after that point in your life, the eyes did not work after that.
Right, yeah. The retina were blown off the back of both my eyes. And I had great surgeons and, wonderful doctors that at least told me going in what they were, with surgeries and stuff, they were going to try to at least get me light perception.
Yeah. But that didn't work?
Didn't come out, no.
No light perception, no nothing.
Nah, so I ended up getting a heck of a nice little nose job out of the whole deal, but other than that.
Yeah. Well, you and Michael Jackson. Yeah.
Right. I've only had one surgery, though, that I know of.
How many? One you admit to.
He's just one ahead of you, right?
Yeah, exactly. Right, isn't that right?
Yeah, sure.
And this, what age are you, sir?
I'm 38.
So this happened at about age 30?
Yes, it sure did. In fact, I missed my, I woke up and I was, had the wreck at 29 and woke up and I was 30. So I was even under, I was pretty much out of it during my birthday.
Man.
So they owe me one.
We have spent a lot of time with different blind people discussing whether it's easiest to go ahead and take it. I was born that way.
Right.
And you were able to drive and do sighted things, I guess, until you were 30. So, there would be no way to know. It's all bad, but which would be best? But that's
that seems to be the biggest debate we've always had, isn't it?
I think so.
Which side of the coin? There's a lot of things that the folks that are totally blind for their entire life that are more adept at doing than I am, and vice versa.
Yeah. Well, that's going to be true. But then you also sound like you have adapted fairly well to to what happened to you. You take what you got and you deal with it, and that's what you've done.
Yeah, I felt there was no need, wasting any energy on feeling sorry for myself or whining and crying about it.
A waste of energy, sir, it would have been, because you're not going to get any sympathy from us. I can tell you that.
No.
So, are you a married fella? You got a wife and kids?
Fixing to be married.
Fixing to be married.
Yeah, I've got a beautiful fiance and a wonderful daughter.
Is that right?
Come March the 7th, I'll be thinking about y'all down in the island as we honeymoon down.
Which island now? Jamaica?
No, we're going to St. Croix.
Really?
All right.
Well, that's very good. And this lady that you're marrying, can she see?
Yes. Yes.
And sometimes those sighted girls will take up with us. I don't know why, but they sometimes they do.
Somewhere, I guess.
They'll put up with us sometimes.
Right.
But you were not married at the time this accident happened.
No. Uh-huh. I'm sure it wasn't.
So this will be your first marriage then.
Second marriage. Yeah, I married.
I was going to say we had some tips for you.
Earlier.
Do what now?
I was married for a few months
earlier,
back in '98.
Yeah.
Just one of those things. Once we got together, we realized, wow.
Those things happen. Are you an employed blind person?
I am self-employed.
You're self-employed.
I started a business called Blind Mice Incorporated, which I operate a website. I sell gifts, collectibles, all kinds of novelties. Over 3,500 different products on the internet.
Blind Mice.
Uh-huh. The name of the website is Blind Mice Mart. .com, like Walmart, and all the proceeds from the sales actually go to benefit...
You?
No, they go to benefit a scholarship fund for the visually impaired.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, very good.
Well, how do you support yourself?
Through disability income from my previous job.
And so this blindmicemart.com?
Yes, sir.
BlindMiceMart.com on the web, and you have 3,500 items.
Yes, I do.
Whoa.
Man, what a deal. I got to go look.
Yeah, no good.
There is. Be careful. You'll find something you need, I'm telling
you. Well, that's the problem with going to those places. Do you have any tools of any kind?
I don't have any adaptive tools and such. I started, when I first got into this, I was going to sell, adaptive things for the visually impaired, similar to like Ann Morris or Maxi 8, things like that. And I kind of opted against that to, my main goal of Blind Mice is to eventually get good text descriptions of all the products that would be, like they say, a picture is worth 1,000 words.
So that your webpage will be completely blind friendly and someone can go up there. How blind friendly is it now?
Not too blind friendly. There's a fairly decent description of the product, but not as good as I would like.
Well, are you?
As far as surfing and navigating it, though, it works great with Window Eyes and with JAWS.
So you can get around real well, and you just don't have a good description of everything.
Some of the descriptions are kind of lacking on some of the products. As far as, some of the figurines or things, you can get a kind of an idea of what it is, what it looks like. But as far as the colors and, the exact... It's not like touching it and feeling it,
Nothing is, and it's not ever going to be, but...
No, but it will get there.
And so you work on that every day, I guess.
A little bit
every day.
So at some point, Dale, do you hope to have this where maybe you could take a salary out of it as like the president or director or something, which would be quite legal?
I don't know. Maybe at some point, yes. Yes. Okay. But right now my main focus is just trying to help out that little kid that may not be blind yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I know after the accident, I tried to go back to school and tried various different things. And goodness, I mean, I took two classes, and I think I studied harder for those two classes than I studied my entire 8-year college career.
I imagine so.
Uh-huh.
So now, it's kind of difficult. And, of course, with the equipment and, with a lot of the adaptive aids and things, it could be a lot easier. But, a lot of times the finances aren't there for that either.
That's true.
And so you obviously got this name from the old nursery rhyme, Three Blind Mice.
Right. Sure did.
Which had to be genetic. They must have been brother and sister. How would they have found each other if they hadn't been,
Yeah, I had a little skit that one time on the web. It was a little story how they went shopping, tried to go to the mall, and they ended up walking in the wrong store, and that's where the old farmer's wife got them.
And let's just one more time, it's Blind Mice Mart.
BlindMiceMart.com.
Well, I'm sure, hopefully after this runs, you'll get some extra hits. Now
that would be nice.
You have done some handyman things, is that right?
Yes.
Tell us about your skill as a handyman.
Well, my biggest, I guess the biggest thing I like to do is just woodworking.
Uh-huh.
I grew up with my grandfather doing woodworking, and actually I laid in my bed after the accident,
uh-huh.
kind of recouping and recovering. I thought, you know, I'll never do woodworking again. And
you will, too.
Oh, yeah, I said, you know what, the heck, I can't do this. So I went out and took an old cedar fence board, you know, uh-huh. 3/4 by 5.5, well, 1 by 6, if you will.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And it took me 4.5 hours, but I built a birdhouse.
All right.
After I done building that birdhouse, I had all my fingers left, and I thought, boy, it's all downhill.
So you built a birdhouse out of a picket?
Yeah, out of a picket.
Yeah,
and since then, I've gone on to build beds, dressing mirrors, chests and cabinets, desks, toys for kids, you name it, I build it.
So you've got a shop,
yes.
Little shop.
Yes, and
right.
That's one thing. I love the blind handyman list. You know, the just for the fact of it, it's a great way for folks to share information.
Share ideas.
Yeah, that's
old. And this, that, and the other, and tips and hints, and even some things that I don't know anything about, I've gotten some great help from.
Well, are you the circle guy that knows, that does a circle with a bandsaw, or am I
yes,
thinking it?
Yes, I built a circle jig for the bandsaw.
Okay, tell us, give us vivid, explicit description of that.
Okay, the first step, what I did was took a piece of plywood. I used Baltic birch, 3/4 inch, because of the number of plies and the stiffness and the, I guess, the durability, the strength of the wood.
Uh-huh.
And I ripped it down to where it was just the same width as the depth, front-to-back depth of my bandsaw table.
Okay.
Now, the length on it, I made the length on it, the width, if you will, if you're standing at the front of the bandsaw, the width plus 3 feet. So on mine, it's about 4.5 feet long and about 22 inches deep.
So you have a big sit-on-the-floor bandsaw?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And what I did then, the next thing I did was measure the distance from the blade to the left edge of the bandsaw table, and cut with my table saw a saw curve in that piece of wood from, which is roughly from the left edge of the wood, it's about 9 inches in.
So you cut that corner off?
Well, I cut it, just a saw curve straight into it, much of the same as to mimic the cut in the bandsaw table. So if I ever have that jig on there and I need to change my saw blade,
uh-huh.
I can do so without having to take that whole jig off.
Okay, I got you. I got your point.
So the next step, once I put the piece in place, basically it fits right over the top of my
bandsaw table,
and extends out 3 feet
mm-hmm.
to the right-hand side. The next step, then, I clamped it in place and went to the old hardware store previously and bought a tap and a drill bit for a 1/4-inch machine bolt.
Okay.
Drilled 3 holes through the plywood into the tabletop, you know, and through the tabletop of the bandsaw.
And bolted it down.
Right. Came back with the tap, and then I was able to, when I put it in place, I can bolt it down, and it stays, you know, very snug, very secure. Mm-hmm. I don't have any clamps or anything impeding my cutting area.
For moving the wood, yeah.
Right. Then I took a keyhole bit and put it in my router. And basically a keyhole bit, you know, allows, it's like it'll cut a slot for like a nail or something, like you will see on the back of a plaque.
Mm-hmm.
Anything like that, and just cut a slot that runs perpendicular, if you will, from the blade straight down through the long end of the wood, like down, you know, three feet of wood.
You cut this slot on the long side. You cut
right.
down the long side of the wood from the blade, the bandsaw blade
out.
To the edge of the piece of wood.
Right, and that
okay.
allows me to, as far as for my pivot point, I took a an 1/8-inch just threaded rod that's about 2 inches long and a small nut, and that's what slides in that keyhole slot.
Okay.
Yeah. And whatever distance, if I need to cut a 6-inch circle, I'll slide that threaded rod, if you will, up to 3 inches, you know, 3 inches away from the blade, which is half of the diameter that I want.
Uh-huh.
Screw it down and it tightens into place, and then the piece of stock that I'm wanting to cut the circle out of, I've drilled a hole in the middle of it.
And you simply
drop it in and just spin it around.
What an idea.
So your jig there is the diameter. I mean, in its fullest extent, it's a 3-foot. That's why you can cut a 6-foot circle. Right,
right, Right. I made that large, so if I ever did want to cut like a 4 or 5 or 6 foot like a tabletop or anything, I could do so.
That's totally that's what ingenious.
And so an easier version of that, if folks don't have a router or they don't have the keyhole, you know, bit and all that stuff, just by simply placing that wood on there, they could just simply screw. Or I've even seen where people have drilled holes every inch or every half inch or whatever down that length, and then they just drop a bolt all the way through it.
That's probably what I would think. Looked like it would be more stationary that way if you had holes drilled.
Yeah, and it just I did it just for the flexibility of wanting to be able to you know,
changes.
If I need a, you know, a 7.5-inch circle or a 12 3/4-inch circle, whatever, I can adapt my distance to whatever I need.
Boy, if you had a sleeve that you could fit down over this bolt that's the center of the circle,
right,
that the wood would move around, then you could tighten the bolt. Then the only thing that would scare me about the steel you've got is that the bolt in the long cut would move. You know what I'm talking about?
Right, right.
But it doesn't.
No, it doesn't.
Well, I know what I'll be doing tomorrow.
As I turn the wood, I turn it clockwise.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the same way that the bolt tightens.
Yeah. Okay.
I was curious about this, Dale, when I first heard, you know, a 6 foot circle with the bands on. I was trying to figure out what kind of stock you used that would allow you to cut a 6 foot circle.
I haven't cut a 6 foot one yet. I've used it for a 5 foot table.
That's good.
And that I used a piece of Baltic birch.
Okay.
And it came in a 5x5 sheet.
Okay. I was curious about this thing. You know, I know they make plywood in 12 foot sheets, but I'm not sure it's still any wider than 4 feet.
Right. If I were going to do it, if I were going to do a 6x6 or anything bigger than that, I would use, I would put just glue up. It would probably be regular hardwood.
Right. Okay.
You know, I would glue up a piece that big. When I first made this, I had the envision I was wanting to make I guess like a donkey cart, if you will.
Okay.
Put out beside the deck and pool out in my country place.
Right.
And I was going to, you know, screw some 2x12 together to fashion the wheels, if you will.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was going to use those, you know, to cut the wheels out.
So you were going to cut some half circles and put them together.
Right, right. So by the time I got done building this jig, I changed my mind and decided not to build the cart.
my only question would be this. Now, you have this piece of wood on here. The blade is going to enter, and this cut that you have in the long board and the long side of your jig is exactly even with the blade or a little in front of it?
Yeah, exactly even with the blade.
It's exactly even with the blade.
Right.
So you turn this
when I put
thing.
Say if I've got a, if I want to cut a, say a 1 foot circle,
mm-hmm.
I'll put my pin at 6 inches, and then I'll cut on the table saw, I'll cut a piece of plywood. If I'm using plywood or whatever stock I'm using, I will cut the piece down to like 12 by 12.
Okay.
12 1/4, 12 1/8 by 12 1/8. And then, you know, of course, just scratch, if you will, a line from corner to corner on the diagonal on the piece of stock, and where they intersect is your exact center, and then go to the drill press, drill my hole there.
Okay.
Okay.
I put it over the pivot pin. I use, you know, like one of the flat edges of the piece of stock, so it does nestle right up against the blade.
And it'll just go, and that blade will just keep on
trucking.
Now,
and then as you spin the wood around the pin, it, you know, in effect starts to cut the corners off.
I see your point, but you've got to have a lot more wood that you're cutting than you want the size circle.
Exactly.
In other words, if you're going to cut a foot circle, you need about a 2 foot piece of wood.
If you're going to cut a foot circle, you're going to need a piece of stock. You're going to need a piece at least, maybe a foot and an eighth of an inch.
14.
Yeah, or 13.
You know, it doesn't need to be too much bigger. Yeah.
You say if you're going to cut a 12-inch circle, you want to need...
Yes, a 12-inch circle, then you'll need just a piece of wood that's, you know, basically 12 and an eighth inches by 12 and an eighth inches.
And that's all?
And that's it.
And so you end up with very little around the edge.
Right.
In fact, the closer you could get to your diameter, to the circle, the easier it'd be to cut, wouldn't
yeah.
it? Yeah.
Sure is.
Man.
It's so much easier to get started and everything else like that.
Yeah.
Of all the people we've had on, you're certainly an interesting fella. And
right.
I need to talk with you again. I've got your phone number. I'm going to call you off the air, and we're going to visit a little bit.
Let's do that. I've got a bunch more jigs and contraptions, and I'll call kinds of stuff too.
And next time I'm in Houston,
for everybody.
Next time I'm in Houston, I'll beat your house probably.
Come on down.
we got a lot more guest slots, and I'm sure you can fill some of them.
All right.
Yeah.
Dale,
thanks
bless
so
your
much,
heart.
Guys.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks,
and
Dale.
We're out of time, but I'm going to talk with you further.
All right.
Thanks, Dale, from Clear Lake, Texas, for being a guest on the Blind Handyman. We'll be back in just a minute.
ACB Radio Mainstream, now delivered live to your phone in the UK using phoneanything.com, the internet over the phone, www.phoneanything.com. As well as
ACB Radio Mainstream,
The Cafe,
ACB Radio Treasure Trove,
you can hear
live, unpredictable internet
on the ACB Radio Interactive. ACB Radio Interactive, playing music from
the 1930s and 40s,
the 50s and 60s,
the 1970s,
80s and 90s,
the hits of the new millennium.
ACB Radio Interactive comes to you from at least 6 time zones on 3 continents, bringing you the very best of
country,
top 40,
classic and modern rock,
new age,
folk,
the rare stuff out of the 50s,
jazz,
easy listening adult contemporary,
and more. Live, unpredictable internet radio.
ACB Radio Interactive.
Listening to the Blind Handyman on ACB Radio Mainstream, the talk of the blind community. Our email address is blindhandyman@hotmail.com. If you would like to be part of the show, leave us a phone number and we will contact you soon. Now, here's more of today's show with Phil Parr.
I would say that that fellow would be a good candidate for my Blind Like Me, The Blind Experience.
I guarantee.
Yeah, I would think so, too.
Because he, I wonder, we were just discussing on the break, I guess we would call him back and ask him. If he's listening, he's probably going, shut up. But anyway, I bet he worked for NASA. I bet he was an engineer or something for NASA.
I bet it's a good possibility of that.
But to take 30-year-old, and this is 8 years after this happened, the man has, as far as I'm concerned, if he does nothing the rest of his life, his attitude's good. That'd be the toughest of licks. As you know, I still believe if you're going to be blind, you might as well start out that way.
I would think it would be easier. Now, being a sighted fellow, I really
sighted
would.
Sighted fellow, our token sighted fellow.
You think it'd be easier to be born that way?
To be born blind?
I think so.
Well, and then, of course, you get into the midstream where I am, so you're partially sighted. You're kind of not either way. I mean, you know, and then if you could see perfect and then lost it all or lose some or lose, you know, in my field, like working in education, I've come across all kinds, you know, where I've had kids that were born blind and I've had kids that were going blind as I spoke to them, you know.
Oh, sure.
Read print one day and could not. And it's a tough call. And, of course, you know, I've been partially sighted, and I was born with my condition. And, of course, and I love, I'm so close of a partial, you know, where I want to drive and have driven and have had scooters and this and that. And I have my little philosophy that, you know, life's not worth much unless you can fly a plane and ride a Harley.
Right.
And so, actually, I know it is because I can't do either, but wouldn't it be something to have been able to do just that and then lose it? So I have to say, I kind of come down on the side of being born.
Bottom line is you play the cards you get dealt.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
The cards
you dealt.
And at the time they get dealt.
Yeah.
But I believe,
right.
I believe attitude-wise and adjusting, and that's what makes this fellow so unique. I mean, in the way he appeared to me on this interview, was he certainly has seems to, or he presents the the idea that he has adjusted quite.
I think he has.
That would be a really overcoming some obstacle. You
definitely.
Know?
Yeah, you're sort of like the old song says: the sighted folks don't love you, and the blind folks are above you. You know.
That's so, right. did it say that above me?
That's what I'm writing. The sighted folks are above you, and the blind folks don't love you.
Which am I?
It's time, ladies and gentlemen, now for
the beer opener contest.
Listen to the train.
Are we going to have the Southwood freights rolling by the ranch house at this time?
May pick one of us up. Let's demonstrate here, ladies and gentlemen. These are available at lots of convenience stores. You may not have heard of them, but here's the first one. Here we go. Listen.
Oh, yeah. Time for a beer.
Here, that's my beer opener. You click it, it goes. All right, that's one.
Uh-huh.
That's one. We can vote on which one we like.
Okay.
Now, here's the second one. Here we go. Listen, this one does. That's the second one.
Behind door number one.
Behind door number three we have. Let's see if I can make this one go.
Cerveza, señor.
Corona.
Hey, that's cool. Let's do it again here.
Corona.
That's my three openers. And I think there are a couple more. My brother-in-law found these somewhere. So those are available if you want to. It's good blind toys. Blind people like
them. What do you think the Reverend might comment on those?
Well, I think the first one that asked people if they wanted a beer was just obscene. Terrible. Reverend Swaggered. Boy, we have managed to disseminate no useful information other than if the guy hadn't been on and told us about the bandsaw jig, it would have been a wasted show, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I was
getting suspicious when we all kept going, what's a bandsaw? I wonder, what's a bandsaw?
What did we say we could talk about, Shaw? We said we could talk about what?
Oh, I don't know. What can we talk about? Blind folks and what? Hearing.
Blind folks. We're going to talk about hearing a little bit. I recently have gotten some hearing aids, and they're just like Jonathan's. And Jonathan has an overall hearing loss. I have a high-end hearing loss from being on bandstands all my life and also from listening to loud music in the studio for a long time. And so I went to my audiologist, Sally Muehlbach, and she said, when you're around those power tools, wear some ear protection, because the thing you don't want to do when you get old like I am is lose your hearing, because you can't, you know, all of you blind people who are listening, and most of the people who are listening are blind, you know what it means to hear to get around. I can't hear to get around anymore, and that sounds dumb to a sighted person, but you can't hear that pole that you're passing and that you're about to run into. You can, if you can't see, you can actually hear it.
A lot of folks will be able to relate to that.
Sure, it's an echolocation system. You can hear the noise you make bouncing off that pole or that object that you're about to run into. And I have to make a lot of noise now. I have to clap. Yeah. Going to the mailbox, I have to clap. Where's the mailbox?
There again, your high-end hearing, boys, what you would need for that.
And that's where my loss is. And these work good for Jonathan, but they don't help me get around, period. I'm nothing. I mean, they may make it worse getting around. You can't.
Digital sound, boy.
Oh, man, you can't.
Used to.
You know, and we don't take into consideration, I mean, the fact that in our younger lives that we do things that could damage our hearing and not even know it. You know, we're just catching up with things like the smoking things. And Don Shaw and I had the misfortune, if you will, of working around a high noise level that wasn't about 5 or 6 or 7 years of our lives when we worked in the photo finishing business and movie processing. And we were in a dark room situation. And we had air squeegees, I mean, like that's high-pitched air compressors going. At the same time, you had shrill, high-pressured water running. And you could not wear earplugs or anything because the normal form of communication was, "Hey, Don,
stop
the machine." You know, and he couldn't hear me with earplugs on. And so no doubt like people riding motorcycles, loud motorcycles, or flying loud, you know, and not feel stressed. If you're doing power equipment, You know, if you can, cover up.
Yeah, and you don't think about that a lot in a shop.
And tell us about those wonderful earplugs you found and where you found them, Donald.
Well, pharmacies, Eckerd's, your local Walmart pharmacy, that's just some of the places that sell these. They're just little rubber foam, and they are ear noise protectors. And you get, I don't know, six or eight or so to a package. And they're just, you just squeeze them together, put them into your ear, and they expand out, and they will cut out, I'd say probably half of the noise level.
Oh, they'll knock it down.
At least half. And what's good for a blind person is, though, it'll really knock down the noise that you're around to a comfortable level. But at the same time, if someone did talk to you or you needed to hear something to see what was going on, at least you could. And that's the great part about these.
Some way or another, they allow some sound to come through.
They do.
They are just a little piece of rubber foam, and they're about, let's go an inch long and a half inch across, a little circle of rubber foam. And you mash it down, you squeeze it into a little bitty thing and stick it in your ear,
yep.
And it expands. And closes up your ear. But some way or another, because I put them in my ear and tried to walk around, I can still get around. They do me better. Of course, my hearing aids, I use the hearing aids in the studio because there are things on the speakers that I just can't hear anymore. I mean, I and stuff on the big speakers that I can't, Luann was telling me I had overmodulated a guitar. Any of you familiar with digital, if you overdrive digital, it's a terrible sound. I had laid a rhythm guitar and overdriven it, and she said there's something wrong that has a crackle noise in it. It is not. It sounds fine to me. So I put the hearing aids in, and by golly, there it was. Crackly, nasty noise. So if you're doing loud things, put your earplugs in.
These things are great. It's just it just knocks off the loud edge to the whatever the sound might be that you're working around. But I think it's something about prolonged, long. You know, if you're in a noisy area for a long period of time, that really is just.
Well, I think there's a whole syndrome about noise pollution.
We just live
in a noisy, and it is damaging. I mean,
boom boxes. You know, well, how do people stay in the car with those boom boxes?
You know how to ask a deaf guy if he wants some chicken?
You want some chicken?
Well, I'll tell you, Sean, I know the people that live across the street from me have solved the boombox in the car problem. They get out of their cars and leave the boombox on.
Well, that would solve the problem.
And then I get to listen to it,
at
4 o'clock in the morning. So.
Yeah, what a deal.
All right, we got 5 minutes. What are we going to do for 5 minutes? Talk about, there's a lot of talk on the list about these. There's blind people on the list that are talking about painting. I mean, actually, this guy,
is painting and staining wood.
This one poor guy really felt sorry for him. They were talking about, well, when you paint, you ought to use rubber gloves so you don't get so much on the end. He said he bought a pair of rubber gloves and the solvent, something in the paint or something he did, ate the rubber gloves. rubber gloves.
Really? Wasn't that a deal?
Yeah, I felt pretty sorry for him. 80s rubber gloves off his little hands there.
The problem with painting, though, I mean, I never worried much about getting the paint on me. It's how the hell do you keep it off the $20 a yard carpet?
Man, I was going to tell that guy. He said the first circle he cut was out of a piece of birch.
Yeah.
Do you realize what a piece of birch would cost? $40.
It's expensive wood now.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that.
You want to go down and buy those kind of things. But also he was talking about, and we had Stephen on, he talked about it also, a picket. Just
making
a plain picket
house.
Off a picket fence.
You can make
a fine little birdhouse. You just figure out how long the picket is. Say it's a 6-foot picket. You want to make this birdhouse. You want to put a piece on each side, so you want that to be, 14 inches. And you figure out how many inches you got, and you can make a little gable roof.
Oh, you can.
Then, interestingly enough, that's the first thing I built when I bought my birdhouse.
If you've got our favorite tool, a compound miner box saw, you can take these old fence pickets that come off of old fences, and make fine picture frames. And a lot of people like them.
My wife paid $40 for a frame. It's a piece of tin on some old barn wood. I mean, you can see where there were nails in this barn wood. It's just junk. I looked at this. I almost threw it away the first time I saw it. I thought, this is a piece of junk. And well, don't throw that away. I paid $40 for that in San Antonio. Yeah. And she hung it up in the house.
Yeah, yeah.
And some of the beautiful stuff I've built, she went, we'll put that in the garage. We'll put that in the barn.
That's the way it works, someplace. By God.
So, you know, she paid $40. So all that cedar, I had my deck redone. Had my deck, let me mention this for you.
Yeah.
The lights. We talked about cleaning light sockets.
We did, and we got
an email, and his suggestion was good. He said, take a file and clean them. That's all well and good,
yeah.
But what had happened to these, the brads that actually hold the threaded piece in the light socket, the little pop rivets,
yeah,
had begun to come loose, and it was it could not pull the bulb up to touch the center element. So this guy came by this morning. Luann finally got tired of me messing with, well, you know, baby, it's not my fault the lights don't work. I don't use them anyway. Why is it my problem? She finally got tired of it, so she called a guy.
Uh-huh.
And he came by this morning, and he looked at him a few minutes, and he said, Mr. Parr, what you need to do is just replace this light kit. He said, I think Lowe's will have them for about $15 a piece. Well, he took my globes down. In other words, the thing that fits over the bulb, the glass thing that the bulb shines through. He took those down, excuse me, and put them all on the table. Went to Lowe's. They were $8 a piece for a four-light light kit to go on the bottom of your ceiling.
Really? What
a
deal.
And he matched them exactly, hooked the wires back up, and bingo. No more worry about that for 10 years. So, you know, don't clean the socket. Just buy a new light kit. Unless the socket can't be cleaned, then you might. But that might be the problem if you've got a light that you can tap on the bulb and it comes on. The brads on the side might be. And the way to do that would be take it off and take a pair of vice grip pliers and tighten those little brads on the side that hold the socket on.
Man, there's always a solution, isn't there? Always.
So we have dispensed some usable information. What do you think?
It's a possibility.
We stumbled through another show. The guy, Dale Campbell, was that his name?
Dale Campbell, yeah.
I'm going to have to call him. He won my heart with his attitude toward blindness and his the way he does things. He's as far as I'm concerned, my hero of the day is Dale Campbell.
Hey, Dale.
Bless your heart. If you fool with us, we'll have you up here for Blind Weekend sometime. You know? Anyway, that's our exciting show for the day, friends. Number 27.
Yeah. Hard to believe it.
We've done another one.
27.
Really? Give us that email. Those email addresses, Donald Shaw.
Well, if you
subscribe,
just got to subscribe, send that blank email to blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
And that'll get you on the list.
That'll get you on the list. And if you want to send us some email, send to blindhandyman@hotmail.com.
And that'll get a Hotmail email to us, and we need it, friends. We do, please.
We do. We really do.
I was wondering if the Reverend was. We're not going to
have
those beer.
Well, they had a few today. And
we're not going to have those beer openers on
the show. We need more. We can't have those bottle openers on the show. Let's call them bottle openers if you don't mind.
What a deal.
Anyway, we'll have. We need email. Blindhandyman@hotmail.com. Email us and come be a guest on the show. We'd love to have you.
Yeah.
We're having fun, and you ought to come have the same fun with us. Thanks, Don Pat.
Yes, sir. I loved it. It was great.
Don Shaw's fixing to go ride in my little scooter, aren't you, Don?
Yeah, fixing to fire it up.
And our brother Tom Houston's been with us all afternoon. Thank you, Tom.
Enjoyed it.
I'm Phil Parr, reminding you, I see, said the blind man, as you picked up his hammer and saw.
The Blind Handyman is produced for ACB Radio by Out of Market Productions, 1604 Southwood Drive, Lufkin, Texas. Phone 936-634-9500.